Good morning, Fellowship. Good to see y'all this morning. If you got your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 2, Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. Feeling a little bit under the weather, so just be gracious to me. But man, I'm so thrilled we've been going through this series of hospitality. We started off last week with Brandon. We talked about God's hospitable heart, identifying God as being hospitable and really looking at the fact that we have a holy God, perfect God, and yet despite our sin, or actually because of our sin, taking all of our punishment, placing it upon Christ on the cross for us in our place, taking God's wrath so that we could be forgiven, we could be changed, we could be adopted, we could be his children. And we talked about how that is the ultimate view of hospitality, is while we were strangers and enemies, God loved us and cared for us and brought us into his family. And so it's a beautiful view of hospitality. Well, part of that is that as God has been hospitable, he desires for his people to be hospitable. We'll talk about that this morning. One of my favorite quotes is from Arnold Glasgow, and he says, "Some folks make you feel at home. Others make you wish you were." Oh, did I get that right? Okay, I got it right. Yeah. Some folks make you feel at home, others make you wish you were. So we're talking about not only this hospitable God, but God's desire for his people to reflect that hospitality. That as God has called his people out, you see it specifically in the Old Testament, they were always meant to reflect him. They were a people living among other nations and other peoples that were worshiping other gods. Those people were always meant to reflect him. His characteristics, who he is. Now listen, I turned 42 years old this week, and it doesn't matter how old I am. I always will always look like my dad. Like if you see us walking side by side, like it's creepy. We walk the same. We have the same body. It's like everything about us is the same. Bless her heart, Lucy walks like me, and I'm sorry, sweetheart. But you can look and we look the same, but not only do we look the same, if I get around dad, my accent gets much, much thicker. I really pour it on. Like I just start talking like I'm from Prescott. I mean, it's just bad. Same mannerisms, all that thing. Why does that happen? Because it's reflective of who I was raised by. It's reflective of my dad. I am my father's son. It's reflective because that's who I am. In that same way, y'all, God has called us as his people to reflect him. That indeed, we would represent this hospitable God to a culture that needs to see what this God is like. And so we're talking about that today. We're going to talk about most of it. Let me just give you kind of a foreshadowing of what's coming. Next Sunday is Vision Sunday. I want you to come back for Vision Sunday as we talk about, as we've prayed over what this next year looks like, as we talk about the DNA of our church and where we're headed. I want you to be back next week. The next week, Ben Parkinson is going to be here sharing about what's the end game, what's the end goal of hospitality. When we talk about having a hospitable spirit, what's the end game of that? What's the result of that, of us having a hospitable spirit? The week after that, I'm preaching and I'm really talking more about our personal level, like on the ground floor of our lives. What does it look like for us to be hospitable? This morning, I want to spend some time talking about hospitality as a corporate gathering, as God's people, as we reflect God in the church community. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about us. What does it mean for us to be hospitable? So I want to encourage you, if you've got your Bible there, let's read it together. Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. This is going to set up a little bit of a framework or a little bit of a culture of our church family. So as we read together, I'm going to ask, would you stand with me as we read this together? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Thank you. You may be seated. It's a beautiful part of this text when we look at what was the culture like in that first church? What was it really like to be a part of that first church family? And as we see through this scripture, and it kind of sets the framework of this hospitable people we're talking about here, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. They really devoted themselves to the word. There had to be something that was distinguishing them from everyone else, and the first thing that they started with was, we are gospel people. We are gospel people. We believe what Christ has done for us. Taking our sin, saving us, redeeming us. We're gospel people. And it talked about the fellowship together, breaking bread, the prayers, spending time with one another. And it talked about the works of the apostles and all the great things that God did through this church family. They were taking care of one another, selling possessions, making sure everybody had what they needed. And then it says, day by day, they were attending the temple together. They were living life together. They everything that they had, they understood it was directly from God's hand. And then it says they received people, that they had gained favor by the outside world, by what they were doing. And they were receiving, like people were attracted to that. People were coming to know Christ through this church family. So as we talk about this, kind of setting the framework, the culture of the church is, we are called to be hospitable people, reflecting God's nature and looking at God's word, the commands that he's given us, lived out in community, lived out as a church family. They cared for their church family, even to the point of making hospitality an evangelistic tool for them to share the gospel. So this morning, let's talk about what are just some three things that this morning we just want to talk about. This community, this church community is reflecting that we can look now and say, well, this is true for us because we want to be a hospitable people. Let's look at the first thing. A hospitable people is that we are marked by love. We're marked by love. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because why? He first loved us. That's why we love. See, it starts with God. It starts with what God has done for us. We love because we've been loved. We love because he first loved us. Hebrews 13, 1 through 12, or 1 and 2 say, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Make brotherly love and hospitality a trademark for the church. And they talked about you never know, you could be entertaining an angel. Now, this is not for you to go angel hunting, all right? Like trying to serve strangers and are you an angel? But here's what it means. It means you would love people in a way that you treat them like you would an angel. That you would love them so sincerely, so deeply because of what Christ has done for you. That you would treat them so well. And by the way, I've had a lot of discussions lately about love. Love at its essence is sacrificially placing someone else's good above your own. The best for someone else that could be achieved, you willing to be sacrificial in a way that could be achieved. Not a gushy feeling, not a warm feeling. That's not love. Love is a choice. Love is wanting someone else's good above your own. And that's what these believers were marked by. That's what the call was. Like you reflect God's love. You love because he loved you. You continue in brotherly love. You are hospitable to others. But do we? John 13, 35 says this, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have K-love in your precepts. They will know you are my disciples by your T-shirts. They will know you are my disciples by your Bible on your work desk. They'll know you are my disciples by the way that you talk about church in front of them to make them kind of start the conversation. No. Nothing wrong with those. They'll know that you are my disciples. How? What does it say? John 13:35. If you have love for one another. Where theology meets the streets is how we love. How we love. In an overabundance, sacrificial way, how we love other people. How we love each other as a church community. How we love people outside of these walls. It's displaying God's love. I've said it before. We are known more for politics, more for certain stances, more for what we are against than what we're for as Christians. We are more known in our culture for the stances we take than the love we show. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Christians shouldn't be known because of some political stance. I wish we were known as those crazy gospel people that love everyone. That's what I wish we were known as. I wish we were known as people who believe that God forgives sin and redeems broken people more than any other thing that our culture identifies us as. I wish we were known for our generosity, loving people all around this world. That's what I wish we were known for. And I think that's the mark of hospitality in a believer's life is, do you love? Do you love? Here's another thing we can see. Hospitality or hospitable people are marked by grace. We're marked by love and by the way we love other people, but we're also marked by grace. Ephesians 2:12-19 says this, and it's a long passage, but I want you to hear because this is us. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of God. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two. So making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Grace has been shown to you. You are no longer separated. You are no longer aliens and strangers. God has showed you grace and he has made you a part of the family. That's the foundation of grace in the way we live. You were once strangers and aliens to God and to the body, but yet you've been redeemed. Grace has been shown you. You have been forgiven. And I'm telling you, you have to start there to understand every single one of us that comes to Christ has been shown God's grace, not on our merits, not on our good deeds, but just simply by God's grace. He chose to. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, anybody who lives under the cross and who has discerned in the cross of Jesus the utter wickedness of all men and of his own heart will find that there can be no sin that can be alien to him. Please understand, if God has shown you grace, you are no better than anyone else. You were once in the same boat of the lost. That used to be you. You're not better than them, you're just forgiven. That's the difference. And for all of us, we have to start there. We have to understand, look, the wickedness of our own soul shows us, our own body, our own flesh shows us then we're no different. If we're going to love and reflect the grace of God, please understand, you better start there, that you're a redeemed sinner. And if you are shocked by someone else's sin, you don't know your own heart. Because there's nothing you're not capable of as well. When we have been shown grace despite our sin, the gospel welcomes everyone to the table. Paul killed Christians. I can't think of a guy more unwelcome at the table of God. Killing Christians, town to town, hunting them out, putting them out in the streets, stoning them. And yet he's welcome. God's grace saved him. Let me just tell you, as I've gone through it this week, there are some people that God has just have put on my heart that we need to talk about how we show grace to them, reflective of our culture, reflective of what maybe we're even known for. Let me just start here. Being a people that are marked by grace shows how we show grace to the poor. Leviticus 23:22 shows how God has a heart for the poor and continues to, but he says, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God." He's telling them, listen, when you take care, when you farm, when as you bring in the crops, don't go all the way to the edge. You leave that for the poor. If you drop some along the way, leave it. That's for the poor. Whatever you bring in, a portion of that, you need to look and see who are those around you that need to benefit from this? Who are those that you can help? How we show grace to the poor is reflective of God's heart for the poor. Locally, here's what it looks like for us. It's to be a part of a ministry called See John in South Benton. A great organization that helps with food, groceries, bills, those things. It's a great organization to be able to be a part of. In Central Arkansas, Union Rescue Mission. Men and women that love the homeless, that share the gospel with them and provide a meal for them. There's great ministries that are involved in helping the poor, and we cannot neglect them because that's not reflecting God's heart for them. How do we engage the poor? How do we show grace to them? Well, there's another group that God put on my heart. It's how you show grace to those that don't look like you. Now, I've said it several times, and by the way, I'm going to keep saying it. Reflecting God's love and grace to everyone means that we as Christians speak up for racial injustice and racial inequality. That we use our voice. We do that. I read it today. The origin of racism was not slavery. The origin of racism was the Garden of Eden. The racism at its very core is sin. And so for us as believers, and let me just say this too, specifically for this period of the church's life in this country, the church should be using our voice to speak against racism. Church family, you should be using your voice to speak against racism in any form. Because we understand that every single one of us are made in the image of God, able to be seen as and loved by God, loved just as much as God loves us, given dignity, so much so that believers, we ought to be speaking up. That's one thing for us to be able to continue to put in front of us is that grace means showing grace to people that don't look like us. But let me just tell you something else that God put on my heart. Leviticus 19:34. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Love the foreigner among you. Love the immigrant among you. Serve them. Love them. Show them grace. I don't know what your stance is on immigration. I'll be honest, I don't really care. I love you. I don't care. Let me just tell you, God is very specific in his word about how we love and serve the immigrant among us. Everything else we understand God's got control of. I'm not speaking contrary to any U.S. law, but here's what I'm telling you. As believers, we are held onto the carpet how we love the immigrant among us. I've seen it. When I lived in Botswana, 75 Zimbabweans a day were arrested in my town, sent back to Zimbabwe. Coming over to try to find food, find something. It was so bad in Bulawayo outside in southern Zimbabwe that people were boiling grass. They had no food. And I sit there and watch these people that I love, that I lived with in Botswana, begin to harbor such incredibly hard, hateful hearts to Zimbabweans. They've been blessed to live in Botswana, a country that is wonderful and I love dearly. But by God's grace, they were there. And they weren't 5 miles across the border. Church family, we ought to be known as a place that shows grace and love to the immigrants among us. Okay, I hope you got it. Another group of people I think we need to show grace to. Those that sin differently than we do. Romans 2:1 says, therefore you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the same thing. Philip Yancey says, Christians get very angry towards other Christians who sin differently than they do. Y'all, we have huge hang-ups in how we view other people and their sin struggles. The lost and the redeemed. How we view each other. Grace means you don't pick and choose who you accept based upon their sin or how tolerable their sin is to you. We're all broken and sinful, every one of us. You don't choose which people you hang out with and which people you show grace to based upon the tolerableness of their sin. You don't get to do that. If we go back to the foundation of grace, it means you're capable of that sin as well. Here's what that means too. We have on our website, I encourage you to go look at it, fellowshiponline.com. We have a statement, a position paper on marriage. We're very clear about how we view marriage. God created it. It's a reflection of Christ and the church. We get that from Revelation. It's between a man and a woman, that God's design. Very clear. Very clear about it. However, what we're called to do is to love everyone. Everyone. Church family, to speak truth in those moments means we love. And if someone walks in the door of this church that is engaged in any LGBT lifestyle, you and I are called to love and serve them just like we would anybody else. We speak the truth in love. We love them. To not tell them the truth would not be love. But hear me. It doesn't mean we isolate them. It doesn't mean we run them out. It doesn't mean we don't sit by them. It doesn't mean we don't talk to them. It doesn't mean we don't love their children. Because that's not love and grace. I've had coffee with a precious couple that says, we know what your church says. We just want to come and learn about the Bible. And my response is, oh, please come. Please come. Show us some grace because we're still figuring this out as a church family. But please come. But y'all, that's our response in love and grace. To be a people that are hospitable means we're hospitable to everyone. We love everyone. We show grace to everyone, no matter who they are. Here's the last thing. To be a hospitable people means that we're marked by community. We are marked by community, real, authentic community. You saw what it was like there in Acts chapter 2. Breaking bread together, spending time with one another, taking care of one another. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11 says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." It is glorious to love and serve and show grace in this wonderful community that we have. For God's glory, through the name of Jesus Christ, it's glorious to do that, to love one another, to show hospitality in a nice way. And for us as a church family, that's what we need to be marked by. It's how we welcome other people. Now listen, if you call Fellowship your church home, I don't know if you know it or not, but you're on the X team. You are on the guest services team. If this is your home, you're on the welcoming committee. Every one of you. All right, now we do have an X team that pass out bulletins and do a lot of things in here. You're welcome to be a part of that. We'd love for you to be a part. But unofficially, you're a part of it. If this is your church home, how you welcome other people is a responsibility for everyone. Now listen, you may say, "Cody, I'm not extroverted and obnoxious as you. I can't do that. I'm introverted. It's hard for me." In all sincerity and love, I would tell you this. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Now listen, we want fellowship to be a very welcoming place. We want this. If you're new here, if you're a guest here, here's my hope. My hope is that you've walked in today and you felt like this is home. That's the best thing that could happen on this morning, is that if you've checked fellowship out, you come in here and you feel like this is home. That is our hope. And we want this place to be that way. There are churches all around that people go to just to get lost. There are churches that people go to that they'll walk in and no offense to everyone sitting at the back, all right? My wife especially. They'll sit at the back row. As soon as they'll walk in, they'll sit. When we're done, they're out, they're in their car, and they're gone. All right? I don't want this to be a place where you can do that. Not in a mean way. Not like we're trapping them down in the parking lot stuff. I know we're not going to do that. But I want people, when they come here, that it is natural for every single one of you to look around you and to welcome people. You know, if you don't know if they're visitors or not, guess what? I don't either. I introduce myself anyway. And I, six of you in here, I introduce myself to you every Sunday. But it's how we engage as the church family. It's the culture that we set. To say, we want to be known as a church that loves people, that shows grace to people, and that people feel at home. Like, look, one of these days, Lord willing, and if one of you win the lottery, amen, just be sure and tithe. We would love to close in the breezeway and have a wonderful lobby. But here's why. It's because I want this to be a place when we get done on Sunday morning and say amen, you don't rush off. You feel at home here. You connect with people. You don't feel the pressure. Look, we want you to get your kids. Absolutely. Don't leave them there till like 2 o'clock, all right? But get them and stay. Get them and visit and have community here. And that is a responsibility for all of us, not just the pastor or the staff or the other elder or whoever else you think, or the X team. That's for all of us. It's hospitable in the way that we serve fellowship. Hospitality means the way that we serve one another. Look, I've said it, and I know it's really hard to say, but I'm just going to say it anyway. If you use the church, but you do not serve the church, then you're abusing the church. We're all called as this form of hospitality is to serve one another. That's important to us. It's very important to us. It's so important that to be a member, you have to serve. You have to be plugged in to serve at a place. That's how important it is. It's why we want you to go and serve in our children's ministry, in our student ministry, as you heard today. In the ministries of the church, for you to be able to show this hospitable spirit by the way that you love the people inside the walls, as well as outside the walls. And lastly, it's how we do community together. And I'm going to talk more about this next week. I'll talk more about it at the end of our series. But it's how we even live this out together in the what we call D groups. But here's my heart. I sincerely hope that fellowship can be known outside these walls as a place that loves people, welcomes them, shares the truth of the gospel, but that folks can come in and feel at home. That we would be so hospitable as a people, those that walk in the door would say, this is home. Here's what's amazing. As we think about that church in Acts 2, that's what they were known for. They were known for, and it continued on. Here's what's amazing. I want to read this to you. Listen to the Roman Emperor Julian. Writing in the 4th century, regretted the process of Christianity because it pulled people away from Roman gods. Here's what he said. Atheism, he's calling Christians atheists because they didn't worship the Roman gods, has been specially advanced through the loving service rendered to strangers and through their care for the burial of the dead. It is a scandal that there is not a single Jew who is a beggar, and that the godless Galileans care not only for their own poor, but for ours as well, while those who belong to us look in vain for the help that we should render them. It's the Roman emperor saying, it is a shame that we do nothing while Christians make sure there's not a beggar on the streets. While they take care of our people when we don't even take care of them. That the Christian movement continued to perpetuate and grow because they loved, showed grace, and were a hospitable people. And that was their mark. That's what they were known for. Man, would that be true of us? This morning, that is the heart of this church family. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask, first and foremost, is that all of us, including me, need to examine our own heart in this. That y'all, there's so many ways I have not been hospitable, and I know I haven't. And God has revealed that to me this week, and he's continued to show it to me. And because of his love and grace, I repent, and I'm forgiven, and he's called me to live a different way. But church family, if you look at the way that you have operated within this church family here, and you'd go, you know what? I haven't been as hospitable as I need to be. Which, by the way, that's every one of you. Would you repent and trust in the forgiveness of Christ and know that he's called you to something else? But also, what does it look like for you to take one more step deeper into making this place more hospitable for everyone? What does it look like for you to take that step? I want you to pray about it. I want you to ask God to reveal it to you. But that fellowship would be known as a hospitable place for everyone. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your love for us, your care for us, God, the gospel that we've been given. And Father, even at this moment, as we begin to pray and ask you to reveal in us those moments where we have not been hospitable, those moments that we have not reflected your love and your grace. Father, would we repent of it? Father, would we embrace the forgiveness that is readily available to all of us? And Father, would we just not only pray today, but would we continue to pray of God asking you to reveal what it's like for us to take another step deeper into making Fellowship Benton the hospitable place you want it to be? place that absolutely speaks truth, but absolutely displays love to everyone, to serve anyone. That simply by your grace you have redeemed us, and we are no better than they are, no different than they are. God, would you change us? And just like that first church, Father, would it be for your glory and for those outside to come to know you? Those that are lost know what it's like to be loved by you. And would the lost come because they know I am loved here? God, would you do that in us? We ask this in Jesus' name.